Hello and welcome to Pathways, where you are invited to join me for a visit with leaders in personal and cultural evolution. This is your host, Paul O'Brien. Would you like to improve your health? Do you need to manage a chronic condition or figure out how to cope with a sudden health issue like an accident or illness? Whether you are dealing with aging, unexpected health challenges, or ongoing concerns, today's guest on Pathways offers skillful ways to gain insights, balance your energies, dialogue and interact with nature, and work with your dreams, your inner healer, your symptoms, and more to tap hidden resources for healing. Our guest is Dr. Carl Greer, author of the new book, Change the Story of Your Health, Using Shamanic and Jungian Techniques for Healing. Carl is a practicing clinical psychologist, a Jungian analyst, and a respected shamanic practitioner. He received his PhD from Columbia University and was on their faculty teaching finance and management in their graduate school of business. He moved to Chicago to work for an oil company, and after focusing on business for many years, he earned another doctorate in clinical psychology and then became a Jungian analyst. Hello, Carl, and welcome to the Pathways program.
Thank you, Paul. Nice to be here.
Now, your book is about practices that could help people explore their life story, choose a more desirable one, and bring that new story into being. And I just love that metaphor of our life and the power of our story. But first of all, I want to ask about your background. I mean, how did you go from working for an oil company and teaching finance to becoming a Jungian analyst? I mean, what made you want to make such a radical shift in your life?
I'd grown up in a family where many of the men had worked in the steel industry. And I thought that was going to be my lot in life, have a good job in industry, raise your family, provide for them, and that would be it. But there was another part of me that wanted to do healing work and to be involved in things other than just business. And I had that tension throughout my life until I was in my mid-40s and decided I wanted to act on this other urge. And from my 40s till now, I've been pursuing these other pursuits as well as trying to manage that which I needed to manage on behalf of my family and others. And now at age 76, I'm at a place where I feel pleased with the choices I've made and as of right now, the works that I'm doing.
You know, you have a quote in the book. It says, "I may have been a late bloomer in some ways, but I believe people are called to a spiritual life and to their soul's purpose when they are ready."
Yep.
So that sounds like what you were just explaining. Now, The other thing that's fascinating about who you are now and what you're doing is this crossing of Jungian analysis with shamanic healing. I mean, what a fascinating intersection. How does that work? And explain that intersection to us.
Well, the intersection is that from a shamanic and a Jungian vantage point, we are more than just our conscious awareness, and we're influenced by factors that are unconscious to us and maybe even outside of us. And to somehow find ways to relate to them, we have an opportunity to gain energy and information that can help us make changes.
Right. And Carl Jung talked, well, he was all about the unconscious, the personal unconscious and the collective unconscious.
Yes.
And about the archetypes that influence our lives. In fact, he kind of coined the term archetypes as a psychological factor way back when, 20s or 30s, whenever that was. What shamanic healing involves archetypes too, right?
Absolutely. In other words, Carl Jung had ways to access those realms for the personal unconscious and the collective unconscious. For example, he had particular ways he thought one should work with their dreams. And he had a practice called active imagination, where he would find ways through things like sand tray work or sand play work to get insights into what's going on below the surface for us. And those factors that are unconscious to us can be seen as, in some cases, archetypal energies that are influencing us. Archetypes, energies that influence how we think, act, and feel. For example, you know, somebody's under the sway of the mother archetype, and all of their energy is spent towards nurturing and being there for others, which can be a very noble, good thing, but sometimes it's at the expense of the person's own personhood. And so each archetype can have a good side and a bad side. And shamans also go to these realms. They may get to them in a little different way. For example, working in nature in particular ways, or doing shamanic journey work to the lower world or the upper world. And when they go to those realms, they're also encountering images or symbols or figures, which one could see having archetypal aspects to them. And I'm saying that when you have these encounters, both through Jungian work or shamanic work, there's ways to find out what the information is for you at the particular time. And in the book we're talking about, how it might relate to your health story.
Right. So do you find it difficult to switch between Jungian archetypes and spirit animals and other archetypes that are used in shamanic healing?
No, I think they're all in the same continuum, and they're just they come from the same place. They live in the same place. It's just ways to talk about them a little differently, and slightly different ways to access them.
Mm-hmm. Now, you come from a pretty left-brain background as an engineer, as somebody who studied economics and finance. But since then, in your second life, if you will, you've studied the ancient and global traditions of shamanic healing. And that seems like such a stretch. You know, you got your super left brain, and then this other thing is like the super right brain. How was that transition for you?
Long and with lots of twists and turns, and still evolving, because you know, in a world that's dominated so much by left brain thinking and consciousness and evidence based medicine and whatnot, the realm of the unknown is sometimes both scary and nonsense to some people. Until they've encountered it. And surprising, Paul, that a number of people who are very left-brain about some things are very superstitious about others. And so because it's by definition the unknown, to get into it is sometimes scary, and how you get into it and then interpreting what you find as having any meaning. I mean, gee, I just made that stuff up, or that's not real, or whatever we tell ourselves when we encounter the numinous, the aspects of our existence which are really bigger than we.
You know, it's so ironic how some of prominent, you know, rational pundits, etc., hold on to religious beliefs that are pretty amazing, you know, like the virgin birth or the resurrection or whatever, but then will at the same time poo-poo the notions of the Native Americans or other shamanic-oriented spiritual cultures. And what is a shaman, anyway? How would you define it?
Hey, shamans are people who heal, work with energy. They work with the past, and they work with the future. They also have an affinity for the natural world, and they believe that it's alive, and that we're all part of a bigger living universe and Earth. And they have ways to communicate with those energies that I'm talking about. And they do it through journeys, and they do it through having ways to get themselves into a slightly altered state, or sometimes a big altered state, where they have a better access to these realms. And I'm suggesting in my book that people can, for themselves, get into these altered states and be more accessible to these insights and energies that you and I have been talking about.
You know, like psychotherapy, you write the essence of shamanic healing is to work with our past so that it lives within us differently and we no longer are caught in old habits, and to align with a future that is more desirable for us and spirit. That sounds like a pretty good definition of Jungian psychotherapy.
It would be, but it's also a good definition of what good shamanic healing is about. And I would say the goal is, a lot of people say all we have is the present moment right now, and they have an idea what that means, but I agree with that. And in that present moment, the choices that we make influence what's going to happen next. And if we can make freer choices, choices that are different than perhaps we made in the past, that are more in line with who we truly are in this lifetime, I think that's a good thing. How do we get there from here? Well, one, if we have past constraints that we're not aware of that are influencing what we do in the present, to be more free of that, that's a good thing. And if we have a future out there that's more desirable than the path that we're now on, and we can hook up to that new future, that will influence what we do in the present as well, and that's a good thing. So the essence of all this work that I'm talking about is to do those two things so that we have more freedom of choice in the present and as it relates to our health, to make different choices regarding our health than we otherwise would have made, including how we think about it, what we believe about it, and what we talk about it, our own health story.
Mm-hmm. Now, you also say that shamans believe that energetic and spiritual imbalances are at the root of all physical ailments. And you have exercises for balancing things out throughout the book. Is it your hope that this book is going to provide people the tools they need to actualize some of these techniques in order to manifest a better balance in their life? Or is the goal of the book to get people to seek out a shaman?
No, the goal is for them to do it themselves.
Right.
The goal is this is written, Paul, in part because I think in a world of experts and specialists, we sometimes give away our power, including our self-healing power. And I'm really making the case that we can do more work on ourselves in a healing way than we think. And here's some ways to do it. I'm not saying to walk away from Western medicine. I'm not saying to give up your doctors. I'm just saying this will allow you to make more informed choices, which are good for you. And I have a lot of practices to help you home in on what those choices might be.
Now, I think it's very interesting the way that you define energy medicine as a category of several of the practices that you present, such as cleansing your chakras, manipulating energy, qigong, acupuncture. All of these things fall under the umbrella category of energy medicine, which is something that makes highly logical people nervous. Talk to us about energy medicine.
Well, have you ever had somebody say, I'm affected by the movement of the moon, or sunspots seem to be up, somebody said some negative things to me and that's affected me. And the idea is that everything is connected to everything else in a quantum physics sense, in a cosmological sense. And shamans believe that, Jungians believe that. And if that's so, our thoughts influence emotions. Emotions influence thoughts. That's energy. Those things influence the neurotransmitters, the endocrine systems in our bodies, our vascular systems, our brain waves, I believe. So there's another maxim in energy medicine that energy follows intent. And let's say you intend to breathe differently, and you do. So you're breathing differently. It's a physiological thing, but that can influence the brain waves and how they express themselves. You can shift from being more in the sway of the sympathetic nervous system and become more in the sway of the parasympathetic nervous system, where you're more relaxed. Evidence shows that the stress hormones reduced, your immune system gets bucked up. And all of these things can be demonstrated. And then one would say, but what are the means to that end? And I'm saying things like shamanic journeying, open sacred space, doing breathing, consciously cleansing your energy field, which I talk in my book about. These are all preconditions to getting ready to do some of the other practices. But in and of themselves, Paul, they can be very healthy and healing.
Now, the title of your book is Change the Story of Your Health. And I'd say that throughout the book, this whole theme of the fact that we have stories is central. And before you can change the story of your health, as you point out in the book, you have to release old, worn-out stories. And in order to do that, you have to become aware of what your current stories are. What do you think is the biggest challenge for people in terms of becoming aware of their old, worn-out stories?
Well, one big challenge is that we often are not real honest with ourselves. We tell ourselves the stories not only about our health but about our lives that we would like others to hear or others to believe. So the first challenge is to be really honest with yourself. And how does one do that? Well, I like to think that the more ways we can engage our stories, the more insights we get into it. But it takes a little time. So first is just kind of writing down the story of your health. And I suggest some prompts. What's the story of your eating and drinking and your movement and exercise and flexibility and balance and strength? Your story about aging and self-image and sexuality, menopause, andropause, or your story about dealing with a chronic condition or acute ailments. So we all have aspects of those chapters that we can think about. And then rather than just words, I say, if you want to engage them in a variety of ways to get more insights into them, let's use some right brain practices. For example, what's a song that captures your health story, or a poem, or if you were going to draw it, what does it look like? Or if you're going to move, dance to it, what does it look like? So these are all ways to get just different images of what is. And then once you have an image of what is, then you can ask yourself, all right, what would I like it to be? And then once you put that down in all the aspects of your health story, then you can say, well, why isn't it that way? And I'm suggesting that for many of us, there are unconscious reasons that are keeping us the way we are. And all the practices that I talk about are designed to do is to give somebody an insight as to what those unconscious reasons are that keep us from changing our health story. And yet then we're left with the choice, we the chooser, do we want to make some changes based on the work that we've done to move towards our more desired health story? And then that's an existential choice that people have to be willing to make, but they have to spend a little time thinking about it and doing some of these practices to get new insights than they otherwise would have had.
Now, you point out that we all have two general stories that we choose to live by, the story of our suffering and the story of our growth. Do you think that everyone needs to learn this stuff? I mean, is your book for everyone, or is it particularly for people who are having a health challenge?
I think it's for everyone in the sense that, to take charge of one health story, you want to, if you can, do things that are going to keep you from getting ill in the future. The whole idea of preventive medicine. So this is not only, I think, practices that are good to keep you tuned up and healthy, but also if you're dealing with a health challenge, to have ways to deal with it perhaps more elegantly than you would have had you not done this work. Elegantly in the sense of more encompassing and in a way that involves you in a compassionate kind of a way.
It's interesting to think about the power of a story that we tell. Chapter 1 is entitled, Your Health is a Story and You Are the Storyteller. And the stories we tell ourselves and others are fashioned from events, but also by our perceptions and interpretations of those events. So not only do we have a story, we're telling a story, and a lot of times we're not telling an accurate story because of denial or just an unwillingness to be honest with ourselves.
Yeah, for example, you know, you could say, you know, I came from a family and come from a family that all the men have died of heart disease before they're 60. I'm a man. I probably will, too. There's not much I can do about it. I mean, that's a story that has energetic influence on us, as opposed to I come from a family where all the men have died before they're 60 from heart disease. But I'm not going to be one of those statistics. I'm going to do some things that are going to allow me to beat those odds and give myself a better chance than I would have of living beyond 60. And a person can choose those two things. Or, you know, I come from a family where everybody's kind of sickly. I'll probably be sickly. There's not much I can do about it. Or, you know, I come from a family, everybody's healthy. We never have to go to a doctor. I'm as healthy as a horse. I don't have to worry about my health. I can eat, drink, do whatever I want, and I'm going to be fine. So all those are kind of ingrained within us that have consequences, in my opinion. And I think we do have the power to shift those stories and change them.
And not only do you help people in this book shift their stories, you offer many what you call expanded awareness practices that help people gain insights and energies for healing that are going to inform their new story of their health. And one of the ones you spend a lot of time on the book is this practice of dialoguing.
Yep.
Can you describe that, please?
Let's say on a journey or a dream or a synchronistic event, you encounter something, you know, some image. I'm saying you can have a conversation with that. And this comes from the belief that everything is connected to everything else and has information and an awareness. So we have parts of ourselves that have information that we can find out about. For example, let's say you have a sore shoulder. You might ask it, you know, what message do you have for me? What can you tell me about why you're there? What might I do in relationship to you? And I describe in some detail practices to actually embody that sore shoulder and let its wisdom speak through us so that we, having had that conversation, can make different choices than we might have made. It's very powerful. And sometimes people, when they do this type of work, say, oh, I'm just making it up or this, that, and the other. But I've not known anybody who hasn't stuck with it and tried it with all of a sudden they get an aha moment and say, gee, I never realized that that was there. I felt that way. Another aspect of ourselves we can deal with, I talk about, is our inner healer. It would be an embodiment of our immune system. And that's based on the belief that there's some part of us that's trying to have us have a healthy homeostasis that we can access and have a conversation about. What can we do differently vis-a-vis our health in conjunction with these inner wise figures than we are doing? And again, the conversation through dialoguing can be very powerful.
Now, I love the way that you define healing in the book and also your perspective on aging, which is very encouraging for those of us that are getting older. One of the things you said in the book really struck me. It's towards the end of the book. From a spiritual perspective in which the soul's experiences and development are paramount, healing might occur even if the patient dies of cancer. Tell us what healing means in this sense.
Well, healing comes from the word wholeness. And, you know, I think we're part of larger pictures that by doing some of this work, you relativize your own health story and you see it part of a larger thing. And then you learn that, you know, we're part of a natural world where things die, are born, come into being in every moment, and including even until the time we take our last breath with our loved ones, with our relationship to that natural world. And then that raises questions, Paul, like, you know, where were you and I before we were here in this lifetime? Why are we here? Who are we? What are we? Where will we be after we go? And sometimes the answers to those questions suggest, you know, we're energy embodied. We came from energy. We'll go back to energy. And all we can do is be as best in balance, whatever our condition is, and trust that we're part of this bigger picture, and all we can do is make choices in the moment. And if those choices are somehow more soulful, we can be healed even in the midst of illness.
Uh-huh. Well, we're just about running out of time, and I want to close with something from Chapter 5, which is entitled Write a New Story of Your Health. And it's the very positive way that you end this the book, Change the Story of Your Health. You end up writing a new story of your health. And you say in that chapter, always remember that you are the storyteller and you do not have to live according to the dictates of a story written for you by your DNA, your past experiences and actions, or your cultural conditioning. That is so empowering, Carl. Thank you so much. Do you have any last words on that topic or any advice that you want to give along those lines?
No, I think you said it very well. I think we do have the power to take more charge than we think of our health story, and we can avail ourselves of these bigger energies of which I believe we are a part, and we can find healing in surprising ways if we're open to it.
Okay, well, thank you, Carl. I'd love to talk a lot longer, but we've basically run out of time, and I want to make sure to tell our listeners about your website. What is the address?
It's carlgreer.com.
CarlGreer.com. And
yes,
people can find out about your book and your other works on that website, I assume.
Yes, they can.
Okay, well, beautiful. Thanks again. And for those who tuned in late, this is your Pathways host, Paul O'Brien, author of Great Decisions, Perfect Timing, a book that shares the theme of Pathways, which is personal and cultural evolution. In a second, I'll tell you how you can rewind and replay this entire interview anytime you like via the internet or podcast on iTunes and other servers. Today, we have been visiting with Dr. Carl Greer, author of the book, Change the Story of Your Health, Using Shamanic and Jungian Techniques for Healing. I want to say thank you to all of our listeners for tuning into the Pathways interview program, which is broadcast and streamed via KBOO.FM Sunday mornings at 8:30 a.m. USA Pacific Time. Podcasts of today's show, which you can listen to and forward to others, are also available for free at divination.com, spelled divination.com, and on iTunes and other podcast outlets. This is Paul O'Brien reminding you to tell your friends about Pathways Radio and podcasts. And thanks again to Dr. Carl Greer and to all of you listeners for tuning in and being a part of the Pathways experience.